Our last lesson will deal with the do's and don'ts to making a marriage last. The do's and the don'ts. Summing up what we've had in our previous lessons, we saw that we need to realize that God, first of all, has a plan and a purpose for marriage. God has a plan and a purpose. A lot of times people and these young couples, they just jump into a marriage not even thinking and planning and thinking about why God has set up the marriage institution and why societies prosper when they adhere to God's program and plan. But nonetheless, God does have a plan. He's revealed it to us in the Bible. We also saw that there are some differences between men and women. And we learned that we shouldn't try to make our spouse to be just like us. We need to understand who they are. We even went through and looked at the diagram of men and how God has made basically three types of men. We studied that. We saw that we are to play by the rules that God has laid out for marriage. We are to follow the boundaries that God has established. To adulterate something is to make it unclean, to pollute it. And adultery is polluting the sanctity of marriage. We also learned instead of fighting and bickering, we are to join together like we were intended to. God takes two imperfect people and puts them together so they can be more than they ever would have been simply alone. And God made you for your spouse. If you're not married, God has a spouse for you. You need to understand that, and God wants you to work along with them, being slow to speak, slow to wrath. We need to learn how to get along and have a duet instead of a duel in our marriages. And then we need to implement what we've learned. We need to apologize where it's needed. We need to change some things where they're needed. People say, well, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, if you're going to get into scriptures, you're going to have to learn to change, to mold yourself to what the scriptures say. Really, when you think about going to church and exposing yourself to the Bible and to preaching, that's what it's all about. It's about trying to bring our life in line with what God says it should be. And then we need to be patient with our spouses. We need to be patient with ourselves. You developed some bad habits maybe over a lifetime. It's going to take some time to change. It's going to take some time to implement these things. But you must make due diligence. You must be determined to make those decisions like we spoke about in the introduction. Now let's look at some of the do's and don'ts to making a marriage last. First of all, go to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 12, we've read this verse earlier. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We've illustrated it through the triangle. Both ends would represent the husband and the wife. Up at the top would represent God. If you're going to draw close together, you both have to make your way close to God. So the first thing would be to fortify your faith. Fortify your faith. Being in church, reading the Bible, having devotions, praying, implementing what God says in your life, dealing with sin in your personal life, fortifying your faith, studying the scriptures, doing what God says to do. Fortify your faith, because if your faith is not strong, it's very highly likely that your marriage will not be strong. Number two, 1 Peter chapter number 3, we've covered these passages before, so we won't read them now, 1 Peter 3, 1 through 7. Remember your roles. We could also go to Colossians 4 and Ephesians chapter 5. Remember your roles. God made us different that he might make us one. He made you a man so you could be the man's part. You're not to act like a woman. He made you ladies to be ladies. To be good, to be sober, to love their husbands, discreet, chaste, keepers at home. We read those passages. He didn't make you to try to be a man. The thing to do is to remember the role. Why did God make you? How did God make you? Now you need to get in that role and you need to do it. God gave you some boundaries. He gave you some rules. He gave you some roles to follow. And so we are to do those things. Remember your role. If you know the plan and the purpose, it makes it a whole lot easier. Number three, cultivate contentment. Philippians chapter 4 is a great passage regarding this, and this can have application in many areas of your life, not just your marriage life. But Philippians chapter number 4, Paul the Apostle, while he's in prison, he writes these words, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So, contentment. Practice contentment. Somebody said, to whom little is not enough, nothing is enough. Somebody said, if you're not careful, your marriage is going to be until debt does us part. Be content. Be content with that rickety old car that you have instead of going out and getting in debt if you can't afford it. Be content with a small house or small apartment. Be content with the things that you have. Be content with the spouse that God has given you. Don't go making eyes at someone else. Don't go looking for love somewhere else. You say, well, they're treating me this way. Well, you need to still treat them right, even if they're not treating you right. We've not found anywhere in our study, anywhere in the Scriptures, where you are to bring back reciprocal hate and anger and mistreatment. Jesus Christ gave a great example. He says, they smite you on the cheek, you turn the other one. We are to overcome evil with good. We're not to fight it with evil. Cultivate contentment. You know, you're going to have rough days, and sometimes you're going to have times to where you don't understand that how you can make it through. You're going to think, you know, a divorce is the only way out. I told you early on you need to cut that out of your vocabulary. There's only three causes for divorce: death, desertion, and adultery. And you just need to cut it out. You don't say, well, I don't get along with them anymore, or they don't love me, or I don't love them. That's never a qualification for divorce in the Scriptures. You are to cultivate contentment. You are to accept them how they are. You are to love them, and you are to move forward in your marriage. There was a devoted grandmother that was celebrating her golden anniversary, and she told the secret of her long and happy marriage. She said, on my wedding day, I decided to make a list of 10 of my husband's faults, for which sake, in our marriage, I would overlook every time they came up. A guest asked the woman, they said, what are some of the faults that you chose to overlook? And she said, to tell you the truth, I never got around to listing them. I never listed them. But whenever my husband did something that made me mad, I would say to myself, lucky for him, that's one of those 10. You see, she made a choice to love her husband. Some things would upset her, but she still would love her husband. That's a great way to be. Here are some attitudes that you ought to adopt. Here are 9 attitudes to adopt. Now, this would be in a situation to where you need to be content. The reason you need to be content is because maybe your spouse is not keeping up to the end of his bargain or her bargain. Maybe not. They're not playing by the rules. Maybe they're not following the role that God has intended for them. Number one, you need to respect their individuality. You need to respect them as a person. They have to make their own choice. You've chosen to follow God, to do what God says in your marriage to make your marriage better. They might not have chosen that yet. You need to respect them as an individual. You can't force them or make them. Number two, you need to allow God to be God. Allow God to be God. Don't try to play God. Don't try to make them and change them and do something to make your marriage better. From that point of view, you got to allow God to work. Number three, compare not. When your marriage gets going rough, you know what you'll do? You'll look around and see somebody that has a wonderful marriage. And then you'll become jealous and envious. Or you'll see a husband or a wife that seems to be a great husband or wife, and you said, man, I wish mine were like they. Do not compare. Number four, take it easy. Number four, take it easy. In other words, don't be so high-strung about this. If you do what God says, if you're following God's will, back off. Take it easy. Number five, handle with care. Handle with care. Don't destroy something that's been made good. Don't give some ground that's already been taken. Be careful how you go into this thing. Be careful how you deal with a situation where your spouse is not coming along like you are, maybe on the same page. Number six, let go of expectations. Let go of expectations. When you expect something, You try to drive toward it. You try to make it into that, and you get your hands all over it. You have to let go of expectations. Number 7, very important, pray for your mate. Pray for your mate. Number 8, walk by faith, not sight. You may be looking around. You say, there's no improvement. I'm doing all these things. I'm trying to follow God. I'm trying to do what the Bible says I'm to do as far as my role in this marriage, and I can't see any improvement. You don't need to look at sight. You need to walk by faith. You can't see all the time what God's doing or what may be going through your spouse in their heart and in their mind. And then 9, practice unconditional love. Practice unconditional love. You need to be like Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You need to be unconditionally committed to the marriage. 4, you need to banish bitterness. Banish bitterness. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Bitterness, that root that gets inside that produces bitterness, as the text says, it can come up and it can trouble you, and then thereby it can trouble others. It can spread. Problems aren't too big to solve. The people are just too small to solve the problems. Quit attacking each other and address the problem. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, I believe I quoted it last time. It said, give place unto wrath. And it said that let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Ephesians 4:26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Banish bitterness. You need to love your spouse. You need to forget, and you need to forgive. As Christ forgave us, we need to forgive our spouses. 5, continue communication. 1 Peter chapter 3. Continue communication. You need to continue this. You need to keep it up. You need to talk to your spouse. Plentiful words, as we spoke about before. Positive words. Passionate words. Continue communication. Sometimes life gets so busy, you don't seem to find time to talk about personal things. You need to have some time somewhere that you make, whether it's a date night, or whether it's before you go to bed, whether it's in the morning before you go, where it's you and your spouse, without the kids, without interruptions, where you can talk. 6, refresh romance. In other words, keep the honey in the honeymoon. You should keep flirting with each other. You should have a date night. You should have time where you spend together, and you have to refresh that. Be inventive. You know, go on special trips. If you don't have a whole lot of money, you can still plan things that are exciting and different in your marriage. Refresh romance. And then 7, practice prayer. Very important do in the marriage relationship. Practice prayer. Grow spiritually together as a couple. If you're going to do this, you must pray together. Have a devotion life together. Read the scriptures together. Pray. A sad state of affairs when our family has never met together and prayed. It's a sad group of kids that have never heard their dad and their mother pray. In conclusion, the world says, show me and I'll believe. God says, believe me and I'll show you. A lot of spouses are saying, show me a relationship that works and then I'll commit to it. God says, here's the formula. Commit to your marriage unconditionally. Have faith in what I've said is right and true, even if it goes against the grain. Believe me and I'll give you a relationship that works. It all has to do with faith. Maybe you and your spouse, you're sitting next to each other, and both of you, as far as your marriage commitment is concerned, are like two fists tightly clenched together. First thing you're going to have to do is slowly open those hands. And then you move those hands together, palm against palm, until they unite. What is commitment? Commitment means you don't have a last straw. You don't have a last straw. People say, well, I just don't know that I can do these things. I don't know that I can implement these things. If you really want to, you will. A man who wants something will find a way. A man who doesn't want something will always find an excuse. I want to encourage you in closing to take these truths that you learn from the scriptures through these lessons and implement them in your life. Go back over them. Look over your notes. Go back over the scriptures. Pray about what God says. Ask God to show you where you are failing in your role. Ask God to show you how He can make you a better husband or a better wife. Ask God to help you to be that husband or be that wife if you're not married yet, if you're preparing for marriage. Ask God to help you to start off on the right path. Ask God to help you to forgive and forget and to move forward. Look, if you've chosen to forgive, you must choose to forget. You must choose to be recommitted, not halfway committed. Now I want to encourage you to make that decision and to be determined. And if you do that, God will bless you and God will honor you and He'll honor His Word. He always does. I want to thank God for His blessings. I want to thank God for His Word. And I pray that you have gotten a blessing through these lessons. And maybe God will use these lessons in your life to strengthen your marriage or to help you in your future marriage.